Okay, good morning everybody.
Good morning.
Okay. וידבר השם אל משה ולאהרון לאמור. We are starting Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar is like all the other books, very interesting. And we're starting with a very interesting episode. We are counting again Am Israel. That one of the interesting points when we're talking about counting Am Israel, that we see that the same figure gets the same amount of people like it was in the last time. So what's going on here? There is a middle to say that during the building of the Mishkan nobody died. But according to this number, it must be a lot of people died. If it's the same number and people grew up and people died. So what's going on here? So a very simple answer is that if we look at this counting, the Levim are not in there. They're not being counted. In the other counting, the Levim were counted. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to ask the question, to see the big miracle that during the Mishkan, nobody died. And how can you see this miracle? You have to see a certain point that will alert you to ask the question. So what did God do? The minute that the number of Am Israel got to the exact number with the Levim, He took out the Levim, and now you ask the question, how is it the same number? Then the answer is, because the Levim are not here. And if the Levim are not there, so Am Israel multiplied quite a lot, and nobody died. But a more interesting point is, we're talking about flags. What is a flag? The Torah is telling us, Ish al diglo be'otot lebet avotam yachanu bnei Israel. Everybody is like parking near his flag. Talking about flags, we all know how important they are. And if we think this is a new invention of flags, or we see in the Torah, flags are being written. So it was long before everybody in this modern world was thinking about flags. And we all know if somebody does something wrong to a flag of a country, immediately there is a whole big thing going on. Yeah. If somebody wins in a competition, what is the first thing? Is the flag of his country is being raised up. So a flag is very important. What is the idea of a flag? A flag shows that you belong to somebody, to a certain idea. Now we have Am Israel divided to 12 tribes, and then those 12 tribes were in 4 camps. And each one of the camps had his own flag, and each one of the tribes had his own flag. But the interesting point is, if we think this is the only flag we had, we will find out that the Torah is telling, Ish al diglo, each one on his own flag. So it means that each one of us had his own flag. What does it mean? Everybody had a flag? The flag is like the symbol of our job, of our individual job. A flag is something to look up to. So what are you looking up to? So each one of us has got a potential that he has to use, and of course according to the right ideals, not taking it to the wrong place, and this is your flag. So each one of us has got his own flag, his personal flag. And his personal flag, you must not forget for a minute that it's all a part of all the flags. So it's Ish al diglo be'otot lebet avotam yachanu bnei Israel, all Am Israel around Oel Moed. The center is the Torah. In other words, each one of us, which is own job, the center is the Torah. And again, when we're talking about Am Israel and counting the Omer, it's the same idea. We are building our own potential in order to be ready to get the Torah. Because you can do nothing without preparation. You cannot just come and do, oh, here I'm here, I want the Torah. Doesn't work like this. We all know the famous story with Rabbi Akiva. At the age of 40, he gets married, which is also a very interesting story. Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, which is the richest guy in Jerusalem, is getting married to a shepherd that doesn't know to read and write. Of course, her father immediately says, if you are doing this, I am taking you out of all my property, of all the things I've got, you're going to get nothing. I'm sending you out of the house. And he did it in a vow. A nether. And she still did it. So the question is she stupid? What made her get married to somebody which is not young, let's say stupid, in a matter he doesn't know to read and write, doesn't know no Torah, no nothing, and she is from the best family in Jerusalem? This gets us to an interesting midrash of Chazal. Tish'a kabin bina yardu la'olam. Asara kabin bina yardu la'olam. Ten units of, I don't know how to call it, bina, wisdom, or it's not wisdom, it's something more inside. But nine of those units, women took. Now, what is this bina? Bina is the power to see inside. Women have this power.
Intuition.
Exactly. It's more than intuition even. If you see something, a man normally will see what's outside. A woman will see, you see, this guy is smiling, but a woman sees the smile is not true. It's covering something. Sometimes the husband, or the man, listens to the wife, sometimes he doesn't. But if we look and do a survey, we will find out at the end of the day, the wife was right. Now what is this power? Say, Kvoda shel bat melech pnima. The honor of a princess is inside. And what is the bat melech? Bat melech, bat melech is a Jewish woman. In other words,
I know a businessman and his wife works together with her husband to do business, and every time she sees someone she can't trust, she warns her husband, and then later they found out that they've been saved from losing a lot of money.
That's exactly what I just said. But this power doesn't come for nothing. This power comes if a Jewish woman keeps herself inside. In other words, she is not showing off. She's keeping her power inside when she is all the beauty is inside and not only outside or showing off, then she's got this power. Now, Rachel was a tzaddikah. We all know it. Otherwise, she wouldn't do what she did. She looks at Rabbi Akiva, and she sees something that nobody else sees. She sees this guy's got a potential. And this potential can take this guy to heights that you cannot even imagine. So she tells him, I'm going to marry you only if you, directly after the wedding, you go to learn. Now, Rabbi Akiva, this shidduch would say no. Of course. Then the father says, okay, you got married to him, you got nothing. They had to live in this shade. Like this princess, this was used to a comfortable bed and all the good things of life, has to sleep on the floor, on straw. And Rabbi Akiva goes to learn. The age of 40, he sits there, he understands nothing. Because you know, the older you get, it's harder to, what can we do? So he sits there, nothing gets in, and he gets aggravated. So he goes out. There are a lot of stories about it, but we're not going to go to the whole thing. He goes out, and then, in the field, he sees this stone with a hole. And on this stone, water is dripping. And he looks at it and he looks, 1 minute. The drip, you see the drop, one drop, two drops, even if you see 1,000 drops, you don't see anything happening to the stone. But the fact is, that there is a hole that was made by the drops of water. In other words, it takes time, but it makes a hole. It says, if water can go into a stone and make a hole, so definitely the Torah learning can go into my mind. And he goes back to learn, and we all know what happens. He becomes Rabbi Akiva. Interesting enough, after 12 years, he comes back. And before he goes in, he hears his wife talking with a neighbor. And the neighbor is telling him, you are like a widow. Look at your life. What life have you got? Your husband left you. You're sitting here alone. Got nothing in your life. No money, no nothing. How can you live like this? So she, Rachel, says, if my husband wants to stay another 12 years in the yeshiva, I've got no problem with it. Rabbi Akiva hears this. He doesn't even go in inside, turns away, and goes to learn for another 12 years. You see, it's very hard to understand what's in, but the idea behind it is the important thing. He comes back after 24 years, and everybody now knows who Rabbi Akiva is. And everybody's waiting for this guy after 24 years. This is Gdol Hador. And Rachel, the wife, comes with her shmatis and wants to welcome her husband after 24 years. So people just send her away. What are you doing here? Go away. Gdol Hador is coming. Look how you look. Don't dare go in. Rabbi Akiva sees his wife, Rachel. He says, stop. Make way. All my Torah is hers. And everybody's looking. And look how much cover she's getting now. And she's going and everybody's looking. At Rachel, the wife of Gdol Hador. That the Gdol Hador says that all the Torah he's got is hers. Unbelievable. In the meanwhile, Kalba Savua, which is the father of Rachel, regrets what he did 24 years ago. And he doesn't know what to do because he had a vow. And you just cannot cancel it. So he says, oh, this is an opportunity. This Gdol Hador is coming. I'm going to ask him to cancel my vow. So he goes to the Gdol Hador. And he doesn't know that this is this Akiva, his son-in-law, that knows nothing. And he asks this Gdol Hador, I want to cancel a vow I took on myself. I took off my wife and my daughter and her husband from all my property, from all my, the things I've got. I want to take, I cannot see how they live. So Rabbi Akiva is telling him, why did you do this? He says, because this guy knew nothing. Nothing. Didn't know to read and write, definitely no Torah. And I didn't want my daughter to get married to an ignorant peasant that knows no Torah or nothing. Says Rabbi Akiva, if you would have known then that this guy would learn how to read and write, and he will sit and learn Torah. Didn't tell him be a Gdol Hador. Sit and learn Torah. Would you have this vow? Says definitely not. Even if he could learn one page of Gemara, I would be satisfied. Says Rabbi Akiva, your vow is cancelled. I am Akiva, your son-in-law. Unbelievable story. This is a story about each one of us that's got a mission. But the idea is, to become Rabbi Akiva, he had to learn 24 years. Let's go back to the stone. The water was making a hole in the stone. But let's imagine to ourselves, we would take now this whole quantity of water that was making this hole and pour it on the stone in one go. Would there be a hole or not?
No.
Oh. So in other words, there is a way, and there is a way. They say that on the sea, in Shirat Hayam, Ra'ata Shifcha al Hayam, Ma Shelo Ra'a Anavi Yechezkel Ben Buzi. A slave girl saw on the sea, in Kriyat Yamsuf, what the prophet Yecheskel, so Yecheskel gives us prophecy of Maaseh Merkava, very high things, very high level. But the question is, what happened to this slave girl 2 minutes after? Was she now a prophet? Or did she stay the same? So the Torah is telling, Shifcha. So she stayed the same. She was a Sifcha, and she's now also a Shifcha. So, what? Nothing? No influence? If you want a real influence, you cannot have it with one go. You have to do it step by step, step by step. That's the reason for Sfirat HaOmer. If we think that we can get to Sfirat HaOmer without preparation, mistake. We have to prepare ourselves. And only if we prepare ourselves, we will get the Torah. And how do we prepare ourselves? We're building ourselves every day. That's the beauty of what Sfirat HaOmer. And that's the idea of each one of us got its own flag. Each one of us got his own potential. Its own ability to do things. So use it and do it. And don't forget, what did Rabbi Akiva say? What is the major thing of all? Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha.
Says that in English, please.
You should love your fellow man like you love yourself. And this is the basic of everything. You build yourself?
Yes.
But don't forget that you are a part of Am Yisrael. You don't do it only by yourself. You are a part of Am Yisrael. That's the only way you can do it. How do we do it?
That's the hard part.
Oh, how do we do it? So I must tell you, I think I told you before, a few years ago, I think Erev Shavuot or something, I don't know what it was, and I went, it was Sfirat HaOmer, and I went to the supermarket to buy something. Really, 2-3 things, nothing. And I look at this line that is like they had 4 or 5 cashiers and enormous lines there. So I chose the smallest line. Unfortunately, I suddenly realized that there are 2 ladies in front of me, but each one of us got bli ainara, full. You know, you've got now, they've got those new ones. You know, they're double from the old ones. You know, you can, but it's like they work on you. Like, oh, I've got nothing. Okay, let's put more. You come to the cash, then you see how much you put in. Anyway, there is a problem. Why? She hasn't got enough space on the counter in order to put the things in. So it goes so slowly that I almost thought, you know, I took those 2-3 things my wife wanted. I put them back. Leave me alone. Who needs it? Then, something interesting happened. I see this lady in front of me telling her daughter something, and her daughter went in front and started helping this other lady to take out the things, and then on the other side put them in bags and put them in the other way. Unbelievable. I says, wow, this is v'ahavta r'acha kamocha. Unbelievable. But then I thought, 1 minute. Is this v'ahavta r'acha kamocha? Is she doing this because she loves this lady and she wants to help her, or she's really helping herself? Because if she wouldn't send the daughter, and she and the daughter and the other lady would do what they're doing, she would have to stay there for another hour. And then I thought, Ribbono Shel Olam, that's exactly what we have to put in our mind. Think about it. When I'm helping somebody, I'm really helping
myself.
If we put this in our mind, in the supermarket you saw it, but if we understand that Am Yisrael are one, and each one of us got a job, and if we all do the job, Am Yisrael has got the benefit of it, which means that we have the benefit. In other words, if I help others, I am really helping myself. If I would put this in my mind, would it be now easier to help others? Of course. If I think always, me, why should I help anybody? But if I realize that even me is going to gain out of it, then I can work. And as we say, mitoch shelo lishma, balishma. Also in Torah, sometimes people start learning not because they want to know Torah, but because they have to, or because they want to achieve something in life. So the Torah is telling us, it's okay. You start this way. It's like you give candies to kids to come to learn, and when you have a Shiur Torah, you have things on the table. Why? Is this why you're coming? For the food? No, but the food helps. The food helps. You come, you know, something is there. Oh, I'm coming. And then it helps you to come. So in other words, you are not fully coming to learn Torah, but mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. Then you start learning. And then you realize and see the beauty of the learning. And from this you can get to lishma. In other words, if we start helping our fellow man from an egoistic reason, shelo lishma, but we're helping. From this, helping, and then at the end of the day, helping somebody is a great feeling. And we all know, if we help somebody, we feel good. So in other words, if we put all those things together, it will be easier for us to love each other in a proper way. And that's the idea. I don't know if I told you this story. Where did I... Do you remember there was a story with a gorilla and I want to find where I wrote it. Somebody sent me an interesting thing. A small kid that was with his mother in a zoo in Cincinnati in the States fall to a cage of a gorilla. Yeah. Did you hear about it?
No.
The gorilla is, to understand what we're talking about, 180 kilograms. Very heavy, very big. The gorilla was seen holding the kid. So the guards came quickly and shot the gorilla to save the kid. And they killed it. What do you say? Sounds reasonable. Logical, pikuach nefesh, saving the kids. The next day, the whole paper, the whole internet was full with killing the gorilla. You have to blame the parents that didn't look after the kid. And you have to charge them. How do they dare the guards to kill the gorilla? The gorilla is a species that is vanishing from the world. How can you do this? They opened the whole thing as a site on the internet for people that were voting to take the guards and the parents to try. And you look at it and you think to yourself, what's going on here? Is this a crazy world or not? Talking about saving a gorilla? This gorilla, even if it was a friendly gorilla, 180 kilos, she just has to like, on the kid, and the kid is dead. So instead of rewarding those guards, they wanted to take them to court. But we know that that's the world, because it happens all the time. The Nazis, Yibach Shimam veZichram, the way they treated their dogs,
better?
It was nothing to compare how the way they treated human beings, the Jews.
Somebody was in Auschwitz told me we'd never have a dog as a pet. Yes, because the way that they treated their dogs and the way he was treated.
They say, and the prophets say, Noshkei agalim bnei adam izbachus. But those who kiss the calves, that are the cow, they are sacrificing human beings. And that's exactly what we see in reality. And you can read about it. And you can see how people are going out of their ways to protect animals. I'm not saying it's wrong. But put it in the right proportion. There are people in Africa that starve. And you're dealing with animals? Make sure that everybody in this world, the human beings, have something to eat. They are healthy, no wars. A gorilla was killed in order to save a kid. And they want to blame the parents and the guards in killing a gorilla? What did Avraham Avinu say to Avimelech? Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'araguni al dvar ishti. You have everything. But there is one thing missing. The fear of God. You haven't got the fear of God. And the minute something will pop in that you want, that you desire, you will kill me to get it. You want my wife. She's a beautiful wife. You will kill me in order to get her. Why? It's not that you haven't got manners. You have everything. Does it remind you something? The Nazis, Yimach Shimam Vezichram, they were the most, let's say, the best culture in the world. The highest culture in the world. Talking about, now the funny thing is that all the philosophers and the doctors and things, you know, the majority were Jews. It's unbelievable. Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'araguni al dvar ishti. So we have to understand and realize that as a Jew, the most important thing in life is life. Life of human beings.
I wanted to say, the fear of God makes one become very, very close to God.
They say that if the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives wisdom only to those who fear God. Oh, they know. They say it differently. Say, Ya'iv Chachma leChachmai. That the God gives Chochma to those who have Chochma. God gives wisdom to those who have wisdom. So the question is, how am I going to get wisdom? If God is not is going to give wisdom only to those who got wisdom, so how do I get to the wisdom? If I haven't got wisdom, I won't get it. And if I've got it already, so I've got it. So what's the big deal? The idea is, what is the wisdom we're talking? Rirat Elokim hi chokhmah. The fear of God is wisdom. In other words, if you have the fear of God, God is going to give you the wisdom. Because if you haven't got the fear of God, you're going to use the wisdom for the worst things that can be. You see Einstein. He didn't want to kill people. He had a brilliant idea. He had a brilliant thing. But what happened with those things? Nuclear weapons. Nuclear missiles. An invention that was supposed to save the world, destroyed the world. In other words, it's not the potential we've got. It's how do we use it. So if we're talking about Am Yisrael, Ishal Diglo, each one of us with his own flag, each one of us with its own potential, with its own abilities. But still, you have to build it. And you don't build it quickly, as we saw, doesn't work. You have to build it step by step. It's hard work. And you have to build it in the right direction. And don't forget, you're not alone. You're a part of Am Yisrael. Now, the feeling of being apart, you have 2 minutes. I've been in Beijing now. In Beijing there is a Bet Chabad. I think it's one of the nicest Bet Chabad in the whole world. Big, nice, beautiful. Anyway, this Bet Chabad, thinking about it, all those shlichim that go all around the world, and you come to this foreign country, and you've got nowhere to go, no kosher food, and suddenly there is a Bet Chabad there. And this guy provides you everything. This is the flag that we have all go around it. And this guy is really giving his life. This, the first time I realized that a shaliach of Chabad is not something that goes for a few years and then you go back. I thought this is the way it goes. You have a shlichut, you go for 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, and then you go back home. Oh, you go to Dimashul. No. One of the guys explained to me and told me, a shlichut is like marriage. So the idea is, you married once. Sometimes it doesn't work, so you have shiduch sheni. You have second marriage. You divorce and you have second marriage. But The idea is when you go to Shlichut, to be there for all your life. You're going to build your life there. Now, imagine to yourself, the kids. You take those kids. They've got no friends. They live in an environment that's got nothing to do with being Jewish. And he told us, the Rabbi Shimon, in Bet Chava Beijing, you have to say thank you to the kids, not to me. They are going through all of this. But the idea is, what is the idea behind the Shlichut? When you understand that your mission is not temporary, it's forever. I worship God. I do my job. I use my potential. Not today, okay, and tomorrow I'm going to rest. No, it has to be a mission that goes on and on and on. And this is the reason he explained to me. This guy rents a space, and he builds on this space this building. This cost a fortune. And he has to keep this building. Now, if he would have been temporary, come for 5 years, he wouldn't do it. But because he's got the idea, understand, this is my life, here I am, and I have to live with this. So that now he can invest more in his mission. Nevertheless, also the connection he's got with the Jews that live there. If there would be somebody that every minute is being changed, it's a whole different situation. But if you know this rabbi, he's there all the time for me. So you have good relationship with him. There's so much wisdom in this idea of Shlichut. But the main thing is that we, that go around the world and use them, we have to say thank you. We have to raise up the flag of thanks and say thank you to those people who put themselves in nowhere places in order for us to have kosher food, to have a way to a place to daven, to have a connection with the Jewish community. That's the idea of a flag. That we have a flag there that we can gather around it and feel good. A home far away from home. So, each one of us got a flag. What we have to do is to do, and to do the best we can with our flag. And don't forget that all those flags that we have, each one of us, are a part of a big thing. And we all around the flag of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shkoyach.